council members, if you would please come forward at that time. Secondly, the Kyrie we're going to sing today is to the setting of O God, Our Help in Ages Past. Is that something you're familiar with? That? Yeah. A psalm we're going to sing to a tune of He Leadeth Me. And is that something you're familiar with? So, final thing, we're in for a real treat today. We have a guest speaker directly from the seminary to bring us up on all the latest. So, Vicar Christian Dollar will be giving the sermon this morning, and so we look forward to that. I have already decided that I'm going to try to steal him because I didn't have to write a sermon this week. Lots of extra times. You can stand by for that. With all of those things, we take just a minute to prepare our hearts for worship. We begin this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Your throne, O God, is forever and ever.
The heavens declare His righteousness.
You offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High.
And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall
glorify
me.
We sing our opening. To our gracious Heavenly Father. We deserve a moment of silence for invitation. Eternal God, we confess that by nature we are sinful people. We have transgressed your law in many ways, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not always as stated by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. Be at peace.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
And we sing the period. God, who sent your Son, the Word made flesh, to call us to yourself. In response to his call, those he summoned as his disciples followed him. By the working of the Holy Spirit, help us to hear his call, to believe in him, and to follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated as the first two lessons are.
Testament reading this morning is from Isaiah 9, 1 through 4. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun, the land of Nephi, but in the later times he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, the Galilee of the nations. The people who walk in darkness have seen great light. Those who dwell in the land of the deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at a harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulders, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of the Midian. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our song for this Sunday is Psalm 27. We sing it to the setting of He Leadeth Me. Thank you.
9:10-18. I appeal to you, my brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it's been reported to me, my glorious people, that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Paulus, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Cephas and Gainas, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanus. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Extend the reading of the gospel. The Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region in the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures, paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee to Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection. May be seated as we sing this term for the sermon here.
Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, let me ask you a question. Who is in charge? Who's calling the shots? Well, you might be sitting there and thinking to yourself, that seems like kind of a silly question. I mean, after all, it depends. Who are we talking about? What are we talking about? Where are we talking about? It depends because there's different answers to different situations. For instance, if this is your first time coming to Emmanuel this morning, you just walked through the door and you saw me standing up here preaching to everybody, you might think I was the one in charge. But we know that's not the case. I'm just the vicar, the pastor intern. Pastor Larry there, he's the one who's really in charge. Or if you're in a store and you hear somebody angrily yell out, "Who's in charge here?" You think the manager, and you kind of feel bad for him because you know he's about ready to get an earful. But if you know there's an undercover boss situation going on, and there's a CEO in there as well, well, that kind of changes the answer. Because you know that whatever decision the manager makes, well, the CEO can decide something different. And that's the decision that really matters. But maybe things get really wild. I mean, really crazy. And you're in the store and you're watching the CEO and the manager argue about who's really in charge. And then a group of criminals comes in and they're gonna rob the store. And it turns into a hostage situation. And now the whole store is surrounded by police and there's a helicopter flying overhead and there's a SWAT team outside. And then the criminals, they've got the guns out and they've tied everyone up. You, the manager, the CEO, and made everybody sit on one side of the wall. And now it's night and everyone's getting nervous and desperate. And the CEO, he leans over next to you with his hands tied and he whispers in a raspy voice to you, "So tell me the truth. Who do you think's really in charge of the store?" "It's me, right? I'm the CEO. It's not that manager guy." And you say, "No, neither one of you are in charge of the store right now. It's the guys with the guns. They're the ones who's in charge of the store." You know, and hopefully no one here ever ends up in a hostage situation, but it's true. Because it's the ones who make the decisions are the ones who's in charge. It doesn't make a difference if you're a CEO or a manager or just some customer that's got caught up in the whole thing. And that's a good rule of thumb to live by in life. The person making the decisions, they're the ones who are in charge. So maybe let me ask you guys a better question. Who is making the decisions in your life? Well, at first glance, the answer seems pretty obvious. Me. I do. I'm the one making the decisions in my life, so that must mean that I'm the one who's in charge. After all, I decided what I was going to wear this morning. I get to decide what's for lunch. I get to decide whether I'm going to wake up on Sunday morning and go to church. And yeah, when you first think about it, it seems like you're the one who's in charge of your life. But if you really take some time and sit on it for a while, it won't take long for you to realize there's a couple things that you don't get to decide. I mean, after all, Benjamin Franklin said there are only two certainties in life, death and taxes. And I don't remember deciding on either one of those two. But maybe you're thinking to yourself, I don't have to pay my taxes. I choose to pay my taxes. Fair enough. But as soon as you choose not to pay your taxes, things will quickly spiral outside of your control. But taxes, they roll around once a year. There's plenty of things we don't get to decide on that are with us every day. I mean, there's just normal life worry. I mean, kids, finances, health, there's plenty of things to worry about, and Nobody decides to worry. It just happens. It's there with you anyways. And then there's things that are with you even if everything else is going fine. I mean, there's depression. That's terrible. Nobody decides to be depressed, but it's still there. There's addiction. No one chooses to be addicted, and yet it's still there. And it can seem like those are the types of things that are really calling the shots in life. And that's not even to mention just simple, dumb luck. Good or bad, it doesn't make a difference. We can't choose. We can't decide. No one wakes up in the morning and says, you know what? I'm going to pick bad luck today. It just doesn't work like that. There are simply things that happen that we don't get to decide. Things that make the decisions for us. And it can seem like we live at the bottom of a totem pole, looking up at all the people and things that are really making the decisions about our lives, the things that are really in charge. And it can seem helpless, literally without help, like you're sinking to the bottom. In fact, it's actually one of my earliest memories is me looking up and seeing a man go over the top of me, not lean over the top of me, float over the top of me, because I was sinking to the bottom of a pool. I was pretty young and didn't know how to swim. You know, and I don't know if I was there for 3 minutes or 3 seconds, but what I do remember is a profound sense of helplessness, that no matter what I would do, there was nothing that could change the way I was going. There was nothing I could do to climb my way back to the surface. You know, and whether you're at the bottom of a pool or buried underneath everything that life throws at you, it can feel like drowning. I mean, it feels helpless. But it's into this helplessness that Jesus brings something new. You see, he brings his help. He brings the kingdom of heaven. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You see, it's close. It's right here. And that's because of the kingdom of heaven. It's not some place you have to travel to. It's not a place that you've got to earn your way to get into. I mean, it's not even a place you go after you die. You see, the kingdom of heaven, it's something that's brought to you. You see, it's a gift. Because in short, simply put, the kingdom of heaven is wherever and whenever God is the one who's in charge, or he's the one making the decisions. And really, when God's in charge, it doesn't look like anything we've ever seen before. It looks like Jesus. I mean, if you want to get a picture of what the kingdom of heaven looks like, go no further than our gospel reading today. It looks like Jesus traveling throughout the region, meeting people they didn't even know he existed. It looks like Jesus teaching, telling people the way things are, replacing ignorance with knowledge. It looks like Jesus preaching the good news of the kingdom, replacing hopelessness with hope. It looks like Jesus healing every disease and affliction among the people, replacing this illness and hurt with health and wholeness. You see, in short, the kingdom of heaven looks like Jesus helping the helpless, pulling them out from underneath all the pains and hurts of life into a new life, into a better life, a life where God is in charge. You see, you and me, we're used to bosses telling us what to do, parents making demands on our times, the government making us pay taxes. You see, we're used to the ones who are in charge telling us to do this or that, to go here or there. And that's why this picture of the kingdom of heaven seems so strange, because it doesn't look like what we're used to seeing. It's a picture of the one who's in charge, the top of the totem pole, God himself, coming down to the bottom, to us. Not to yell or scream or make more demands, but to help, to support, to carry those weighed down by all the hurts and demands of life. I mean, in the most unimaginable way possible, it's the God of the universe coming down to help those who can't help themselves. You see, that's the good news. That's the kingdom of heaven. It's at hand. God is in charge. Now, obviously, I did not drown in the pool. I'm up here breathing and standing and talking to you this morning, but things were not looking good for 5-year-old me 6 feet underwater. And while I can remember vividly this man going over the top of me, the next thing I realize is me being grabbed right there. I remember exactly where it was because it hurt. I remember somebody reaching and grabbing me right underneath the armpit and then being dragged to the surface so fast that it felt like I was on a rocket ship. Right back to the surface, back to the air. And I'm gasping for breath and I'm looking around through my chlorine-burned eyes to my father, who's holding on to my arm, keeping me above the water. And I'm shook up. I'm scared, and I want to get out of the pool as fast as I can. But instead, I turn around, and I hold on to my dad as hard as my little arms would let me. Oops. Because I knew that if I didn't have him, I'd just sink right back down to the bottom. You see, I needed him to hold me up. I needed him to keep me safe. I needed him to help me. And if being underneath all the worries and pains of life is anything like being at the bottom of a pool, then the help our Heavenly Father gives us is like being pulled back up to the surface. And it's actually kind of funny, because you know what my second earliest memory of the pool is? It's me jumping right into it, doing a cannonball, actually. And as I think back on that, it seems strange that I would be so eager to get back into this pool that was so dangerous and scary. But there was one important difference the second time around. You see, my father was there, just a few feet away from the shore, or the edge of the pool, with his arms open, waiting for me to jump to him. And I did. And I didn't have any fear of sinking to the bottom. I wasn't scared of drowning, because I knew my father would keep me safe. He'd pull me up if I went under. I knew he would help me. But you know what? I still got water up my nose. You know, I still would run and fall and slip on the edge of the pool and scrape my knee. I'd still swim through a warm spot in the water. You know, all those terrible things that happen when you're in the pool. But even though all those things still happened, I knew that I would be okay, because my father was there to help. You see, life in the kingdom of heaven, it's not always easy. It's not smooth sailing. I mean, in the kingdom of heaven, there's still hurts and pains and worries, and yes, even taxes. But more importantly, in the kingdom of heaven, there is Jesus standing close by, holding you up when you feel like you're sinking to the bottom. And it's my prayer for you this morning that you would know that, and that it would be a comfort to you, so that even when you feel like you're weighed down by everything life can throw at you, when you feel like you're at the bottom of the pool, you know you're not alone. You know that your Heavenly Father is right there with you, and that He's the one who's on top. He's the one who's in charge. Dear friends, please pray with me about this. Lord God, you are the King. You are the one who's on top. You are the one who makes the decisions. You are the one who's in charge. Lord, I pray this morning that we would know that, and that we would be comforted by that fact, Lord, that you love us and that you sent your Son to save us. Lord, and that you are not like all the things that we know that make demands on our lives and our time. Lord, that you are there to help. Lord, we pray that we would reflect this in our lives, that we would follow after your Son, that we would be there to help others. We pray all of this in your Son's name. Amen. At this point, we'll sing our next hymn.
council members come forward, please? Beloved in the Lord, Holy Scripture admonishes us that all things should be done decently and in order. And to that end, the Constitution and bylaws of this congregation establish various offices to which men and women are elected and appointed to serve. The Apostle Peter writes in his first epistle, "As each of us has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Each of you have been chosen to fill specific positions of responsibility at Emmanuel Lutheran Church. You are to work with a pastor that our life together in Christ may be orderly and pleasing in his sight. You are to see that the services of God's house are at proper times, that the word of God is purely preached and taught according to the Lutheran confessions, that the sacraments of Christ are administered according to his institution, that provision is made for Christian instruction of young and old, that erring and are admonished, and that discipleship is maintained. You are to see that the temporal affairs of the congregation are properly administered, that proper support is provided for the workers of this congregation. You are to assist in caring for the poor and the sick, in cultivating harmony among members and in promoting the general welfare of the congregation, in furthering the kingdom of Christ here and throughout the world. While holiness of life and obedience to Christ are expected of all its members of the congregation, it is especially important that you, as office bearers in this church, show yourselves by word and example to be faithful to him in service and Christian devotion. In the presence of God and by this and of this congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the offices entrusted to you, and do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to his word in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? If so, then answer, I do.
I do.
I do.
And now I address the congregation. Beloved in the Lord, you have heard the promises of faithfulness spoken by these men and women whom you have selected to serve as officers of this congregation. Do you promise to support them in their work, to remember them in your prayers, and to work with them to the best of the abilities that God has given you, so that he may be glorified and his work may be done in our midst? If so, then answer, we do. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I install you as officers of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Almighty and most merciful God enlighten and strengthen you in your offices, that maybe you may be good and faithful stewards to the glory of his name and the good of his people. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have raised up these servants for work among your people. We humbly implore you to grant them, by your Holy Spirit, those gifts needed for faithful carrying out of their tasks, most especially wisdom, strength, and willing hearts. Let your blessing rest on this congregation. Strengthen the faith, quicken the love, and enkindle the zeal of its members, that your name may be glorified, that here and in all places under heaven, the kingdom of your Son may be advanced. We remember with thanksgiving those who have faithfully served your people and have now completed their time of service. We pray that in the end of the days, we, with all of your faithful people, may hear the voice of Christ saying, "Come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen." Go now in the name of the Lord. Be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Almighty, most merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you and preserve you all. Amen. You may return to your seat. Please stand for the prayer of the church. We pray for all the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. We pray for the church, for our synod, our district, and the churches of our circuit, that we may shine the light of the gospel of salvation and proclaim the gifts you, O Lord, have shared with us. Lord, in your mercy.
In our prayer.
We pray this day for our nation and for all the nations of the world, that there be an end to hostilities, and that peace and prosperity prevail everywhere, so that your gospel may be spread. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our families, our neighbors, and all with whom we come in contact. Grant that we might walk in the light of Christ and together praise our gracious God for all he has done for us. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Lord, you have caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them by patience and comfort of your holy word. We may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty and gracious God, we thank you that you have called Christian and Xenia and others into the ministry of your church. We pray for your continued blessing on them as they complete their vicarage at peace and return to seminary this fall. Grant them perseverance and patience, and keep them strong in the faith as they minister to your people in the years to come. Lord, in your mercy. God of power and might, in this broken world, people suffer from all sorts of calamities. Today we pray for those who are hospitalized, those whose lives are in transition, the unemployed, those who are downcast or grieving, and those who desire our petitions. We pray for Dan, Dolores, Paula, Piper, Vern, and Xavier. And we lift up those who are unable to come to worship today. Fred, Violet, Audrey, Weldon, Pat, Vi, Jackie, Dick, Shirley, Denny, and Karen. Lord, in your mercy. As a community of the faithful, we remember those who have shared the faith with us and have departed this earthly life in hope and joy. So grant our ways on earth that we complete our journey of life and faith and rejoice together with them eternally with the saints and angels and all the company of heaven in everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy and praying that your will be done through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord, in your mercy. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he look upon you with favor and grant you his peace.
Amen.
You may be seated. If there are any who have announcements, please come forward. Seeing none, Christian, I want to thank you for preaching today. As I said, I think I'm going to steal him if I can. Dick and Shirley are here this morning. We're glad to see you all. And if you'd like to exit first so everybody can shake your hand on the way out, you're welcome to do that as well.
Dolores' birthday
is today. She's going to be 45 this year.
Let's see
how it goes. What a great idea. Okay. Thank you for that. We appreciate that. We don't want to pick you up off the floor. I got a call from somebody who used to be a member here a long, long time ago, and you may not remember him. He left, I think, somewhere in the 60s, if I understand correctly. But his name is Eugene Kutch. Well, if you remember him, he is over at Regency Rehab over on 19th Street. He'd probably like a visit. I'm going to be visiting him on a regular basis as well. He lived what sounded like a rather interesting life. He was a dentist and spent time in China, lots of different things. And so I want to make you aware of that. He was happy to see somebody from this congregation. He was happy to see still exist. Other announcements?
I just felt glad to see you and your email.
Oh, did you? Interesting guy. So yeah, if you think about it, stop by and see him. He's at the end of the hall on the left. Bill guys at the offices. Other announcements? Priscilla. So Marlene Strand called and said that Marion's house is ready to be rented?
Just
about. So if you know somebody who's looking for a nice house out in the country, pretty quiet out there if you've ever been there. So we share that. Other announcements? Okay, we'll sing our closing hymn, which we sing to the setting of As With Gladness, Men of Old. We did good until this.